Hi everyone. Good evening, good morning, good day, whatever time of the day it is, where you're listening to Cedars from. Welcome. Finally, the long-awaited Cedars is right here, and I'm just as excited as you. Well, I mean, I feel like my excitement took a little bit to, come alive, but it's alive now, and I'm excited that you're here. First of all, I want to say a big thank you to you for taking out time to listen. Cedars would just be me speaking without you, but you're here and you're here to listen and you're here to also speak. And I'm just very excited about that. I'm excited that you get to be a part of this beautiful thing that God is doing. Now, speaking of God, I mean, He is the person who rules here and He's the person who owns this podcast or whatever we'd like to call it. So before we begin, I'd like to say a very a short prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you because you are a good God and your goodness is amazing. Your goodness is great. We look around ourselves and we see your goodness. We have tasted and seen of your goodness. Thank you because you're a faithful Father. Thank you because you're a loving friend. Thank you, Jesus, for Cedars in Lebanon. In Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Amen. Okay, so if you're listening on here, I imagine that you were told about this podcast or you saw a post or saw someone's status or I don't know how else did you hear. Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, where else? Probably Spotify just recommended it to you and you're here. I don't know, a Google search, the website. I have no idea how you got here, but I want you to know that your being here is not a mistake. If you're here and you have listened to the podcast up to this point, then I can promise you that there's something that God wants to do, with you. And there's something that he has for you. My name is Precious Arame, and I will be your host. Well, not all the time, but I guess for the most time in this period and right now. Hopefully, as time goes on, you get to meet other hosts in Cedars, right? So I'm a Christian. I am a lover of God. He teaches me to love him each day, love him better each day. And I'm just a girl that is learning to walk with God. I'm just a girl that is learning to listen to Him. I'm just a girl who has been very opportune to, see God in a new light each day. And I just believe that every single person deserves to have what I have, that knowledge of the one true living God and Jesus, His Son, that He sent to die for us. Okay. Anyway, that's that about me. Yeah. I mean, of course, because I'm a Christian, doesn't separate the fact that I'm also a student in Russia in the 21st century. Which, saying these things together, they seem like something that, you would think is just, yeah. But I thank God for the opportunity to be here because if I wasn't here, I wouldn't have met the kind people and the God-sent people, divine relationships and divine destinies that the Lord has crossed together in our path. And as we go forward, you get to meet a couple of them. You get to meet at least most of them by God's grace. And you get to see what I mean, right? Amen. Before going forward, I should also state that the voice you hear now will probably fade away with time because this voice is as a result of, as a result of the cold and changing weather. So I feel like that's also worthy of note. Right. Okay. So now to the crux of the matter, what is Cedars in Lebanon? I already promised that this episode was going to be an introductory episode, and as Lord helps us, hey God, as the Lord helps us, we will just going forward define what exactly Cedars in Lebanon is. So Cedars in Lebanon was, well, it wasn't something that I thought of beforehand. I didn't even actually think about it. It was just something that came on a Sunday morning, which I know sounds cliche, but it was from God. That was one thing that I knew. It came from this verse, Psalms 92, verse 12. This is a very popular memory verse that I learned even as a child. My mom, I grew up in such a home where we were required to learn memory verses every week. And so my mom, she made it a point that we would, learn this particular scripture and Psalms 91, amongst others. But this was one of them, Psalms 92, verse 12. And, reading this again on that Sunday morning, it was as if it just stood out to me. And the verse says that in the New King James Version, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." The Amplified actually says majestic and stable. So it refers to cedar as majestic and stable. Now, before I received this word, this name rather, the Lord had already started dropping or giving nudges. You know how, well, the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge and he's like, this is the direction, and you're still in the phase of questioning and wondering, and you're going, Lord, are you sure? I know I'm not alone on this table, but okay. I know there were many like this. I mean, the Lord, so he had already given me the go for a podcast. Well, not that, not go then, so that nobody's confused, but he had told me already that a podcast is the next thing in view, and this would be the name, Cedars in Lebanon. And so, I went on a search for other scriptures that had to do with Cedars in Lebanon, and he gave me, amongst others, Numbers 24, verse 6, that talks about how, okay, so God was talking about Israel, right? Israel was his chosen people, and he said in verse 6 of Numbers 24 that, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the water. That was the way he was going to make Israel. He also gave me Isaiah 61, verse 11, which carries the whole message, mission, and everything that Cedars in Lebanon is. So Isaiah 61, verse 11. And it's in the Amplified Version, right? So it says, "For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will most certainly cause righteousness and justice and praise to spring up before all the nations through the power of his word." Oof, Jesus. Sometimes scripture makes me so excited. I don't even know how to properly explain, how to properly encapsulate everything. So these scriptures, I received them one day, and the Lord started explaining to me the nature of a cedar tree. And that's exactly what I've come here to tell you. I know that, yes, it's an introductory episode, so I mean, it would not be complete if I don't tell you the reason why it's named Cedars in Lebanon and what exactly God wants to accomplish with it. Okay. So I started researching on cedar trees. I mean, this tree is used a lot in scripture. It's one of the first trees that was ever mentioned in scripture, like first named tree that was ever mentioned in scripture. So it's such a popular tree. And the Lord always used it to refer to something that was high and tall. There were also instances, though, in scripture where he used it to explain, for example, in the book of Ezekiel, he talked about how he would cut off a part of the cedar because the cedar tree thought it was high and mighty, and so he would cut off a part of the cedar and he would go and plant that part on a mountain, and that part is going to flourish, right? So there were also instances that the Lord used cedars to portray pride, sort of. But many times in scripture, cedar tree was also always referred to as something that was flourishing, something that was majestic. I mean, the Amplified Version of that Psalms 92 verse 12 says majestic and stable. So for it to say that way, to put it that way, there was something about the cedar tree. What was special about this tree? So while reading about the cedar tree, the first thing that I came to notice was, that first of all, they have leaves that become stronger in autumn to prepare them for the winter, so they stand strong all winter. As a matter of fact, the cedar tree is one tree that doesn't actually lose its leaves the way other trees lose their leaves in the winter. So you could actually see a cedar tree and its leaves are there. You know how the trees look in winter, that everything is just thick, thick, thick and branches. A cedar tree retains its leaves throughout the winter. It's a tree that does not lose its leaves, regardless of, the environment that it finds itself in. So it can be winter, it can be cold, every other tree is losing their leaves, and this cedar tree is just standing there strong with its leaves still attached. The second thing that I noticed about the cedar tree was that they don't grow, I don't know how best to put this, they don't only grow tall, they also grow wide. So a cedar tree is not the kind of tree, it's not like, I mean, and it's very funny because the Bible actually starts that verse with the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And you know how palm trees grow tall? You can have like 10 different palm trees in one small garden. Okay, what I said, I know it doesn't make sense to a gardener. Someone who is an expert at gardening would probably look at what I said and be like, what is this girl saying? But please, just for this analogy, just allow me use this analogy, please. But yeah, you can have like 10, 20 different palm trees, right? In a small space. But with a cedar tree, you can't try it, because if you're going to plant more than one cedar tree, the distance between the first seed, I mean the first seed you sow and the next seed you sow have to be much, because the cedar tree does not only grow tall, it also grows wide. And when I think about that, I think about impact. I think about, I mean, the Lord is comparing a righteous man and saying he will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So he's not going to only grow tall in that he is, benefiting his own self, but he's also going to go wide. He's going to spread out. He's not going to be the kind of person that, focuses on just, oh, I should grow tall, I should grow tall. But he also thinks about, the people around him, right? And he wants to grow wide. He wants to make sure that his leaves can reach out as much as possible, spread out as much as possible. The third thing that I noticed about cedars was they have a very long lifespan. They can withstand, they or rather, they can stand for many, many years. They have, gosh, cedar trees, they live long. They can stand for so many years, so many years. The next thing that I noticed about, or that I read about cedar tree, is also like the winter one. So they are resistant to decay. I know it sounds very, very funny. Although, yes, the tree can die if it's not well taken care of. But the only reason why a cedar tree would die is because it wasn't watered. But that something else would kill a cedar tree, that you say, oh, the tree decayed, or oh, this, that. Most times, if you see a dead cedar tree, it's because the owner of the tree did not take proper care of that tree. And so they're resistant to decay and they're not moved by the happenings around them. It's almost like the fact that they stand in the winter. And so the Lord God was referring, or rather, I don't know, David was referring to the righteous, right? As people who can withstand decay. Ah, if you don't know, we're in a very decaying world, my God. We're in a decaying world. But he said, the righteous will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You'll be resistant to decay. Okay. The next thing I learned about cedars is that their germination process takes a long time. Oh, you can plant an oak tree and a cedar tree the same time, and the oak tree has already gone halfway. Like, the oak tree has already started growing and growing and growing, as if you've forgotten that you planted a cedar tree before the cedar tree starts actually germinating and bringing up what it's supposed to bring up. Okay. But in that period, you know what that cedar tree is doing? It is taking deep
roots. That's the next thing that I learned about the cedar tree. Their roots are very deep. So in that period where other trees are growing, or it looks like other trees are growing, and you know, anybody can just come and cut them off and you know, they're dead. A cedar tree is actually taking its roots very deep. It's going deep and deep and deep and deep. And because of the way its roots go very deep, you cannot water a cedar tree the same way that you water any other tree. If you're going to water, let's say, some plants, tomato, pepper, you can just put that hose. In Nigeria, there's a particular hose that they put, you know, to, if you're just watering, you just want to water. But when it comes to a cedar tree, you can't try that. Oh, no. If you're going to water a cedar tree, there's a technique. Yes, there's a technique to watering a cedar tree, because you have to water it in such a way that it will enter the roots, because that's where it's growing from, that's where it's getting its minerals, and that's where it's getting its life from. All of these things I said about cedar, it reminds me of this verse, very popular verse, or that a few of us, most of us, have heard more than once, and it's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, where Jesus was, or rather, yeah, Jesus was speaking to the seven churches, and in Revelation 3, in that verse 2, he was speaking to the church in Sardis, and he said, "Wake up, strengthen the things that remain, and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God." It's the first part I'm interested in, where he said, "Wake up and strengthen what remains." And so the Lord started telling me, or started explaining to me, we live in very, very testy times. In fact, okay, we live in the end times. If nobody has told you before, let me just be the person that tells you, we're in the last days. We are in the last of the last days. If before they were saying we're in la now we're in the last of the last of the last days. The coming of Jesus is closer than has ever been. The coming of Jesus is closer than has ever been. And so God does not just want people who confess with their mouths that they are Christians, who carry a form, they say Christian and Christian re other religions, I mean Christian, Islam, Judaism, and just because you don't know what to tick, you tick Christian. No, God does not want a people that claim to be followers of Christ but do not live the way Christ lived. If you're a follower of a person, then most likely you're going to live the way they lived. God is raising a people that he can beat his chest and call his own. Now, of course, God loves everybody. I mean, the proof of his love is that he sent his son to die for us. But you would agree with me that if you were a father and you sent your son, I know, yes, it does not sound now, I mean, no father right now would send their son to go and die for, you know, a group of people. But put yourselves in the shoes of our father, Abba, right? And imagine that you had a son and you sent that son to go and die for a people who, there's a group of them that have refused to accept your love and accept your son. There's another group of them who claim to have accepted your son but do not want anything that has to do with accepting him. There's another group of them who accepted your son but keep falling over and over and over again. You'd be hurt. That's the truth. You'd be very hurt. You'd even cry for them. You'd be worried about them. And so, this brings me to what cedars in Lebanon is all about. The desire of the Father is righteousness. Now, then, and forever. The desire of God is to raise a righteous bride, a people who have genuine fear of the Lord. This is something that I believe that we have lost over time. We have blurred the lines so much that we have people who do not have the fear of the Lord. We have people who are not desperate or hungry to live a righteous life. Listen, the desire of the Father is not to have a people or a bride for Jesus, that say with their name, that say his name with their lips and dishonor him in their hearts. Listen, his heart desire is that men truly come to know him. That it's not just something you say that, oh, do you believe in God? Many people believe in God, but not many people know him. He has people that carry his name, but they do not know him. There are people who name the name of Jesus, but they do not know him. That men come to a place of intimacy with him. The hearts are hungry for righteousness in this generation, and that no one rests until the last heart is set on fire. That each fire that everyone carries can light up another, until his glory covers the earth as the waters covers the sea. And that no one stops until their brother is aflame. Because there's also a group of people who are somewhat okay. Anyway, I personally believe that though, there's a point you get to with God that you just begin to feel unease if there's someone who's not experiencing what you're experiencing in God, right? And so, Cedars in Lebanon is just a technology of mercy for someone out there. It is hope for someone out there, and it's an extension of God's love for another group of people. And together on this podcast, we will catch fire. Sounds like something strange to say on a podcast, but yes, together on this podcast we will catch fire until every single heart is burning for him. This is what the Father desires. This is what the Father desires. He desires to prune the branches in us that don't bear fruits. He desires to set our hearts towards him and on fire for him. So yes, that's basically what Cedars is about, everyone who has wondered. And so because of this, I mean, because of the urgency and the assignment on ground. Yeah, so the mission basically of Cedars is sent to, someone once asked me actually, that was the demographic for Cedars and who is it sent to, like who is it for? And you know, I was about to reply, but then I stopped and I was like, wait, Cedars is sent to anyone who cares to listen. If you care to listen, it's for you. I strongly believe this more than, I mean, as sure as I am of my name, I believe that Cedars is for you if you care to listen. I wanted to actually say Cedars was for young people, the young people in our generation, but Cedars is also for the old. Cedars is also for the middle-aged. Cedars is also for the children, right? Cedars is for anyone who cares to listen. Because if you clicked on this link or you clicked on this podcast to listen, then best believe that it's for you. It's for you. So, of course, the structure over here on Cedars will be such that, well, it's not going to be only me that you're going to be hearing. The next few episodes are going to be extremely exciting. They're going to be so power-filled. I'm actually excited for the next few episodes and every episode after that, because I know that God is about to do something very, very, he's going to do something so great. Like, he's going to do something so great and so beautiful here. And I'm just excited that it gets to happen now in our times. And I am just privileged to get a front seat in it. So I'm excited about that. The next few episodes, you're going to be blown away. So the structure is such that it's going to be an interview type. Very rarely will you see me come on here alone. Almost always going to be two or more people, guests, who are also men and women like you, who are just learning to walk with God, who are just heeding to his voice step after step, who are just obeying and listening to nudges. And we'll be talking about a particular topic each episode as the Lord helps us. And I didn't want to say this now, but I feel like I should also put it out there that on some episodes they're going to be takeovers, right? Where a group of people will just come on and, you know, take over the podcast for that particular episode. I'm not going to say more than that for now. Yeah, so that's going to be the structure of Cedars as God helps us. Lastly, before I go, I would like to, you know, just for anyone who wants to meet this Jesus. I know I've said so many things right now, and honestly, I do not know which part or what part has, you know, spoken to you or has hit a chord. But like I said, you're not here by mistake. Someone listening to this might be at the end of themselves. Someone listening to this might just be about to start something new. Someone listening to this might have given up on everything else. Someone listening to this might not know what next. Someone listening to this might be anxious, have anxiety issues, be depressed. Someone listening to this might just not be fine. Someone listening to this might be on a hospital bed. Someone listening to this might actually think that he has got everything he needs in life. But if you don't have Jesus, then nothing is sure. Nothing is sure. But there is someone that might be listening to this and might feel like he does not have what it takes, or he does not have anything, or might feel like he lacks. But I want to promise you that if you do have Jesus, then you do have everything that you need. You're set. Seriously. If you do have Jesus, you have every single thing that you need. And I say that with so much confidence, because I've seen Jesus come through too many times to think that he would fail. He cannot fail. And so for that person who just wants to meet this Jesus that we speak about, who just wants to know this Jesus for themselves and just wants to walk on this journey with us as we go forward, trusting God, I want you to say a prayer, a short prayer today. It's a prayer of salvation. It's an acknowledgement of the fact that you admit that your life is nothing without him, and you want him to come into your life so that he can make everything new. Now, this doesn't mean that your life is going to instantaneously and radically change. Yes, you'll be transformed, but it doesn't mean that your circumstances are going to just magically disappear. No, it just means that he's going to be there to hold your hand through it. If you've been going through it alone, then he's going to hold your hand and walk through the storm with you. If you've been walking through the fire alone, then you're going to have an extra person standing in the fire with you. And I mean, that's just something to be very excited about. So just say this short prayer after me. Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life from today. I receive remission of sins for my soul. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I am saved. I am born again. I am now in the family of God. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of your Son. I am now in the family of God. Amen. Yeah, so you've prayed the prayer. You now have Jesus. That's amazing. That's something to be excited about. If you did pray this prayer, please do well to reach out to us on the email or on Instagram at Cedars in Lebanon Pod on Instagram, and the email at cedarsinlebanonpod@gmail.com. No spaces. Yeah. So thank you very much, my lovely, lovely listeners. Thank you so much for giving us your ears for this few minutes. Hopefully it's few. Oh God. But yes, and thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I'm so excited that we get to walk on this journey together. I'm so excited that you get to be here to also be a part of everything that God is doing. And I hope to see you again, I hope to see you on the next episode. Like I said, the next couple of episodes are going to be really amazing. I can't wait for you to get to listen to them. Yeah, so I hope to see you again. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless you. And one more time, I welcome you again to Cedars in Lebanon, for this is the day that your life changed.